on this Pentecost Sunday of 2020, we boldly declare that the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. We believe and declare that the greatest harvest of souls in all of history has already begun in the earth. We believe and declare that the power of God is so much greater than the power of this pandemic. We believe and declare that the greatest move of God, the move of the Holy Spirit that the earth's yearned for, is being released to believers so that every believer can function and flow in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including prophecy. We believe and declare that a great wave of miraculous healings is going to flood the earth. I declare in Christ's name that what the enemy has meant for evil in your life, our loving God is going to turn for good. This is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit today and all he's doing in the earth, because he's moving mightily and God has something in store for us in this moment in history. My title today is Corona, Worldwide Pandemic, Pentecost, Worldwide Revival. Contrasting what the enemy's done and what God's doing. Isaiah had a vision in Isaiah chapter 6. He was disappointed, discouraged, demoralized because King Uzziah had finally died. In fact, he reigned for a very long time. But about halfway through his reign, he fell into presumptuous pridefulness, became a leper. And so the whole nation suffered under the shame of the sin and then the condition of their leader. When he finally died, Isaiah was brokenhearted, not that he died, but about all the missed opportunity of his life. Often, the greatest disappointment in life is missed opportunity. And Isaiah is feeling that prophetic grief of what could have happened, what should have happened, but what didn't happen. And the Bible says this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And angels surrounded his throne and the glory of his throne, declaring, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." That's what we're talking about today. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, preparing his disciples after his resurrection for what would happen on the day of Pentecost. He said, "I will send the promise of my Father to you. But go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Jesus could not wait to release the Holy Spirit into the earth. He was so excited. He was so anticipating the incredible benefit every believer would have once they were endowed, endued with power. Once their life was filled with all of the agency of the gifts and fruit and presence of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, now this is a continuation of that pre-Pentecost theme of Christ speaking. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So he said, it's almost here, don't leave until it comes. Therefore, they said to Jesus, and so their question is curious because it points toward kind of the human level of understanding contrasted to divine revelation. And they said, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which my Father has put in his own authority." And then he said this, "Stop, put down your prophecy chart about what month and day and year Christ is going to come back again." Yes, he's coming back again. We believe it soon. All of the signs point toward that. But our emphasis should not be on calculating that date, because no one knows it except the Father, not even Jesus. Our emphasis should be on what he said in the next verse, "But you shall," verse 8, "receive power, dunamis, supernatural faculty and ability. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." The power I'm sending you is going to transform your lives from fear to boldness. It's going to change you from confusion to wisdom. It's going to make you an effective and heavenly ambassador, a witness of the kingdom of God the love of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and everything that God's promised to do. So here comes chapter 2. Here it is on this day of Pentecost. Let's talk about the first Pentecost, at least the first Pentecost in the church age. Chapter 2, verse 1. And on the day, the feast day of Pentecost, Pentecost was 50 days. Penta means 50. 50 days after Passover. It was the celebration of the harvest. They would give wave offerings to celebrate and thank God for his faithfulness and allowing them to reap their grain, reap their fields. And it is so prophetic that the harvest and Pentecost are yoked together, because that's the whole function of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he's coming to give you power so you could witness about me to this whole world. And then he said this. The Bible says this. They were gathered together, feast day of Pentecost, in one accord, a big deal. They had fought through all of their differences. See, one accord is not when you come to intellectual unity. It's when you come into love unity. So my wife and I are in one accord. We're very different people. We have different. We're opposites on the personality spectrums, and so, but we stay in one accord because of love, because of a decision for unity. So, the Lord needs unity. He needs it in the body of Christ, in your city, in your family, in your church, in this generation. And so they're all together in one place, in one accord, or in unity. And suddenly there came a sound. Word echoes, a roar from heaven, and the sound was of a rushing mighty wind. So it came like a tornado, a hurricane. The sound of it came into that room where they were all sitting, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happened? There appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. They saw these visions of fire, flames of fire, that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with unlearned other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So the first scriptural manifestation, look what happened. They have this vision that they're on fire. The Holy Spirit brings a fire. In fact, Christ talked about that. In fact, it was John the Baptist who said, I'm baptizing you in water, but after me comes the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So the fire of boldness, the fire of purity, the fire of consecration, the fire of revelation, the fire of the Holy Spirit burning inside of God's love, burning inside the heart of his people. And then they spoke with other languages. So here's what happens. The more filled we are with the Holy Spirit, the more access he has to our vocabulary. So they spoke with languages they had not learned. Of course, there was a great gathering of people from around the world celebrating Pentecost, and they heard them speak, these Galileans speak in their specific languages. That was a sign and a wonder, a beautiful manifestation of the witness of Christ. And so Peter stands up and says, these guys aren't drunk, because some accused them. Well, they must be drunk, because just think about that. Why were they accused of being drunk? Well, because they were so happy. Man, one of the things the Holy Spirit does in Romans 14, he gives us joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. The Holy Spirit brings joy. They had so much uncontainable, expressive joy. And they're speaking and they're worshiping God and praising God in this joyous way. It just flooded the whole city. And so Peter stood up and said this in verse 17. This is that Joel said. This is the fulfillment of the prophetic word of Joel. It shall come to pass, says God, in the last days. Now he's quoting directly from the book of Joel, chapter 2. God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, all flesh, all flesh, all flesh. Every nation, every community, every race, every age group. This is the time when God, that prophetic word is wanting to come to pass. In this world like never before. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. and I will pour out of my spirit upon your servants and handmaidens. There's male and female again. And it says this, and they will prophesy, and I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath. So the Holy Spirit comes, their vocabulary changes, they start speaking in unlearned languages, and then the definition of the guidance or the functional purpose of the Holy Spirit is this: God's going to help you know his will through prophecy, visions, and dreams. Oh, man, that's such good stuff. So but I'm going to contrast now, because we're living in the greatest revival in human history. It's just going to get better. There are more Christians alive right now than in all of Christian history combined till now. There is the majority of the people that are followers of Christ right now are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues and believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So that's a majority. So Pentecost or charismatic Christianity is the fastest growing religion or belief system in the world. So just like the prophecy of Joel, all flesh, it's happening. But now Satan is trying to counterfeit Pentecost with a pandemic of fear, sickness, and death. And where I'm going to contrast those two, because this pandemic has gone global. There's no place, literally, that has not touched and impacted people, either physically, psychologically, spiritually. And yet God says, I have a superior worldwide spirit and outpouring that can conquer, overcome, and defeat that. Here in Pentecost 2020, we are believing for, man, a fresh wave of Pentecost to hit this world and hit our lives as believers, okay? So contrasting the two. First off, the coronavirus, this pandemic, the first thing it does is makes people sick and causes death. So Jesus said this, it's so simple. In John 10:10, the thief, Satan, one of his pronoun descriptions given to us by Christ, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, to rob, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Christ said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's just so easy. Try to make your theology about this issue uncomplicated. If it's bad, it's the devil. Okay? The fingerprints of God aren't on evil things that happen in this world. James 1 says, don't be deceived, brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And he said, when people are tempted, someone might say, well, they were tempted by God. God doesn't have any temptation to give us. So he doesn't tempt people to sin. He doesn't tempt people to die of disease. So God's not passing out. Why would God destroy the world he sent his son to save? So Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. The thief's destroying the world. Now, conversely, in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost, what do we have? Jesus said, here's what's going to happen in John 7. He's prepping them for the day of Pentecost. And he says, as Scripture has said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit that they had not received yet because he was not yet glorified. So he said, there'll be a river of what? Living water. Whew, coming out of you. Romans 8:11 says this, if the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, that raised Christ from the tomb of death dwells in you, what's going to happen? He's going to quicken your mortal body. He's going to bring life to you. So I declare in your life in Christ's name that the quickening agency, the life-bringing power of the Spirit is inside of you, bringing life to you. Isaiah chapter 10 says this, the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. And the anointing is a portrait of the activity, the gifts, and the function of the Holy Spirit. I declare in Christ's name over every sick person, by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. I command infirmity to leave your life in your house. I rebuke the assault of the enemy against your body. And I declare that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, and by his stripes we were healed. Where? At the cross. You're healed, my friend, and I declare it in Christ's name. The second thing that's happening is the contrast that the pandemic is bringing fear. There is a heightened worldwide fearfulness in the world today that is outrageous. And so we want to recognize that fear isn't from God. The first negative emotion that manifests on the planet, so God created a perfect world, created sinless man, sinless woman, gave them immortality. The world was not corrupted. The world was perfect in every way. They sinned and corrupted the world. And so the first negative emotion that showed up after they sinned was fear. And Adam said, I heard your voice. I hid because I was afraid. So fear is the evidence of us being born in sin. We live in a fallen world. And the Bible says this, God has not given us, as 2 Timothy 1:7, a spirit of fear. So not only can fear be an emotion, it can graduate into demonic activity. It's like if we allow natural fear to be in a sustained period, it opens the door to a demonic infusion or strengthening of that very fear until there's a stronghold inside of us of fear, phobia, anxiety. So we want to be free from fear. We can be free from fear. 1 John 4 says this, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, who has perfect love? Yep. Perfect love from God casts out fear. I love that. Violently evicts it because fear has torment. So God's answer to fear is what? In the Holy Spirit through Pentecost is love. Romans 5:5 says this, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out abundantly in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Think about this. When the Holy Spirit moved in, he brought in all of heaven's love. I have love in me, you have love in you. As a born-again child of God, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he is filled with love. The spirit of love is in you, and God wants you to experience a fear-conquering love. So fear inside of us is just another place where we need more of God's love. Fear reveals a place in my heart where I need to encounter and experience more of God's love. So that's what we need as believers. First John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. My friend, you are so loved. You are so loved. God's ready to love fear out of you. God's ready to evict fear out of you. Perfect love, what does it do? Cast out fear. Because fear torments. God doesn't want you afraid. God doesn't want you living bound by fear. This is your season to be free in Christ's mighty name. Well, the third contrast I want to have about these two things, contrasting corona and our own lives in this moment, is discouragement and depression. And this is kind of a big thing because people are experiencing more depths of discouragement maybe they ever have before because of the duration and intensity of this pandemic. And so that's a manifestation of the enemy. So there's a great verse about overcoming fear and depression in Isaiah 60. In Amplified Bible, it says this, arise from depression and prostration that your circumstances have put you. Arise to new life and shine. Be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord. So arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have put you and shine in the radiance of God's love and care. So we all can experience discouragement and depression. The problem is we have to fight against it and not learn to live with it. Never accept those negative emotions. Never grant the temporary permission to be permanent. Remember what David said in Psalm 30, weeping may endure for the night. Grief is normal and it's healthy until it's not. And there comes a time when God says, okay, the expiration date on your sorrow and grief has come. Let's move it out. Grief, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The opposite, the antithesis of sadness is this joy. So God wants us to overcome depression and discouragement, to really conquer it with the force of his kingdom and live in joy. So Paul was describing what the kingdom of God is. And here's what he said in Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts of men is not eating and drinking. It's not a wafer. It's not some natural fleshly behavior. But the kingdom of God is what? The rule of God in the inner life of his people. But the kingdom of God is this, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings me righteousness, a revelation of my true identity, brings me peace, that I can have peace, and it brings me joy. So for me and you, for you and I as believers, joy doesn't come by coincidence. Joy doesn't come by circumstance. Joy doesn't come by everything lining up perfectly. Joy is a choice because I have joy in me when the Holy Spirit moved in. And so I can live under the government of God, the kingdom of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost means what? Pentecost means we should be the happiest people on the earth all the time, especially right now. We have joy. Peter said this, joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy that can't be contained, can't be explained. It just comes from Jesus. I don't need any other reason for my joy than Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit moved in, when I received Christ, he brought oceans of joy, rivers of peace, fountains of joy, oceans of love, and all of those things abide in us because the Holy Spirit's in us. That's what God has for us. Isaiah said it like this. In fact, Christ quoted this in his first sermons, talking about what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God's upon me to comfort all those, Isaiah 61:3, who mourn in Zion, a portrait of brokenhearted believers, to give them beauty for ashes. God, if it's not good yet, just means God's not done yet. God can take the worst thing that's happened to you and make it become the best thing he does through you. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wow, look at those two things. The oil of joy for sorrow, for grief, for mourning. The garment of praise for heaviness. We would, a modern vocabulary synonym of heaviness would be depression. Instead of depression, I have a praising heart. Wow, think about that. I'm anointed for those things, and so are you. I declare in Christ's name, mourning's leaving, that you're anointed with the oil of joy. Father, I pray for a baptism of joy. God, I pray for an eruption of praise in the heart of your beautiful people. In Christ's name. The fourth contrast I want to bring between the pandemic, Corona, and Pentecost is the pandemic is causing worry and anxiety. So really fearfulness about the future, constant kind of raised, measurably raised anxiety in people's lives. And so that's not God's will for your life. So God doesn't want you living constantly worried about the future. Remember Christ said this in Matthew 6. He says, don't worry about the future. I say, don't worry about your life. And then he says, don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, where you go. So he's talking about what? Every aspect of life. Don't worry about your business, your family. So worry is a taxation on my future. And he said, if things that don't worry, the lily and the sparrow, if I take care of them, how much more am I going to take care of you? So don't worry. In the meantime, don't worry. Don't allow anxiety to build a bird's nest of constant fear inside of you, of this worrisome attitude of life. Give it to Jesus. Go to bed and rest. And watch God do miracles in your story. That's God's promise for us, that we can live free from worry. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible gives us a process, a therapeutic process to overcome worry. So what's the Holy Spirit's antidote to worry? Peace. Heavenly peace. Perfect peace. And it says this in Philippians 4, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and will guard a soldier, a sentinel standing there protecting your heart and your mind, your heart and your mind. It will guard, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so peace is this warrior inside of you that will protect you, a gift from God. But to live in it, you have to give thanks to God. So anything that causes me worry invites me to pray until the worry becomes rest, until I receive God's peace. So I cast all my cares, Peter said like this, cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. So maybe you have a lot of cares right now, a lot of issues, a lot of stuff going on. Well, just give it all to Jesus. Give it all to him. Roll all these works upon him. Give it all to him and rest in his goodness. Trust his promises and be flooded with his peace. Let his peace possess you, guard you. Be a sentinel, a soldier guarding your heart and your mind. Don't let anything steal your peace. And when something tries to steal your peace, turn it into a prayer meeting and give it to God in prayer. Anything that tries to take my peace is inviting me to pray. When I pray, I come back to peace. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And peace will guard you. Peace will keep you. Amen? The fifth thing that I see this pandemic, this corona pandemic doing, is causing confusion. So confusion is never God's will. In Genesis chapter 11, when man was building a tower, in fact, man was building a purpose of the earth in Babylon. They were building a tower going up to heaven. They were all in unity. Mankind spoke the same language. And the Bible says they had the same purpose, same language, same purpose. And God says, well, anything they want to do, they can do. So let me confound them. And the Bible says God changed their languages. In Genesis 11 says, therefore, the name of that place is called Babel, or confusion, because there the Lord confused the languages of the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So think about that moment. Everyone's speaking the same language. 5 minutes later, they're all speaking in different dialects, different kind of languages. And so they would gather up in their language group and go off and segregate according to what language they had been given. So it's an important feature, because confusion, Babylon, Babel is the activity of sinfulness and Satan. So it's the opposite of the kingdom of God. So God's answer to confusion is wisdom and prophetic direction. So God doesn't ever want you living in a place called Babel, a place called Babylon, a place of confusion. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, I have good news for you. You have the guidance system and the GPS of heaven moved into you when you receive the Holy Spirit. And through visions and dreams and prophetic words, by bearing witness, by guiding you, by illuminating the scriptures, by giving you godly counsel, the Holy Spirit goes to amazing lengths to reveal God's will for your life. There'll be never a time in your life when you need help and God won't give it. When we need help, we ask God. God always has a plan. When we ask him for the plan, he always gives the plan. When we put the plan to work, the plan always works for us, okay? That's the power of God's wisdom in our life. And so the Holy Spirit's poured out, and so we're living in the time of visions and dreams and revelation, the consequence, the beautiful, dynamic, and supernatural consequences of prophecy, visions, and dreams is so important. And God wants all of us to enter into the full promise, the full potential, the full embodied expression of what God meant. What did he say? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. My friends, I have a great word for you. God says this in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. What you don't know, he knows. And when you ask God, he will give it to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, in the Amplified Bible, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. So shall your plans be established and succeed. God will help you know his will. The Holy Spirit inside of you will help you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. This coronavirus is the enemy's counterfeit Pentecost. But my friend, in Christ's name, God is doing something better, greater on this Pentecost Sunday of 2020. I boldly declare that the whole earth is being filled with the glory of God. We believe and declare that the greatest harvest of souls in history has begun. Pastor, what's God doing? Harvest time, my friends. We believe and declare that the power of God is so much greater than the power of this pandemic. We declare in Pentecost 2020 that we believe and declare that the great move of the Spirit is being released to believers in every place of the world, so they all can function and flow in all 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth had a vision. And he was sharing with Lester Sumrall just before he died. He said, I see a move of God where denominations are filled with the Spirit. That's the charismatic renewal in the 60s and 70s and 80s. He said, I see a move of God that's teaching about faith. That's the great teaching revival of the 80s and 90s concerning faith and grace and so many important things. Then he said, I see an outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit where the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. That's where we are now. God is doing amazing things, my friend. God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, fill us with a freshness of your grace. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with a new fire. Release your gifts in our hearts. Release your power. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for strength. Thank you for all nine of the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you for healing those that are hurting, delivering those that are bound. Thank you for helping your beautiful church. I bless them all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.